All right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm going to read from verse 9. Permit me or pardon me for jumping to the middle of the thought. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Notice, God has prepared things for them that love him. Now, the context or the background of that statement is the fact that Paul, reintroducing the gospel to the church at Corinth, he said, and now, brethren, when I came unto you, so he had preached the gospel unto them, they had become saved. So he was reminding them because he heard certain things about them when it comes to the issue of strife, okay? And he says, when I came unto you, I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with nice sounding words. I came to declare the testimony of God. Every single believer today needs to be constantly reminded of the testimony of God. You know, sometimes when you say you want to preach the gospel to people, you're like, well, I've heard that before. You don't hear God's word before, you keep hearing it. There's no such thing as I've heard it before, you keep hearing it. It's like saying, I've ate yesterday, I've eaten. He won't be here today. If that's what you said in January, January is even too far. If that's what you said 3 weeks ago, you will not be here today. I've eaten. That's okay. No, you keep eating. So we can liken spiritual growth to physical growth. You eat the same things, you may change the combination, but you eat the same thing that provide nutrients for your body, and then you begin to grow. Your cells begin to work. Your system processes the food you eat, turns into energy for everyday activity. When it comes to spiritual things also, this is a church that Paul established. He heard certain things about them. He wasn't surprised. So he needed to remind them of their identity, number one. Number two, he needed to call their attention back to what God has done. So he said, when I came unto you, I didn't come with nice sounding speech. It wasn't motivational talk. I came to declare unto you the testimony of God. Very important. The testimony of God. Remember, we started from verse 9. Eye has not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has what? Prepared. So ahead of time, before you came into the faith, before you even knew what the faith was, God prepared certain things for you and for me. Those who would believe. There are things God prepared. That's very important for us to understand. Now, what God prepared is spiritual in nature and can only be explained in spiritual language, which is the language of the scriptures. So, these were people that were saved. These were people that already had the spirit. Because if you don't have the spirit, you can't be saved. They already had the spirit. The things he wants to teach them were things relating to what God had done, which they now possess. So the teaching was to bring their comprehension. It's like, I want to bring you up to speed. Be on God's page. Be on the same page with God. God is looking at you based on what he has done. I need you to see yourself based on what he has done. That's really where there's disparity. So God is looking at you in a particular way, and he expects certain things of you because of what he has done. He is sure of his ability within you. Question, are you aware of that ability, and are you sure of that ability? That's what Paul is trying to say. And my speech and my preaching are not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, that's verse 4. But what? In demonstration of the Spirit and of what? Power. So that your faith will not stand in the wisdom of man, but what? In the power of God. What is he calling the power of God? He's talking about the gospel. That's the power of God. All that God has ever done is encapsulated in the gospel. So put your hand there, go with me to Ezekiel 36. Let's look at what God prepared. Ezekiel 36. What God prepared. It is through the sound teaching of God's word that you get delivered from I can't to begin to learn how to say I can. So if you're in local assembly, whenever we are functioning things of the spirit, you keep saying I can't. Come and give an utterance, I can't. It's not that you can't. You may say I really don't know how to yet, but that you can't, that's an impossibility. It's not possible. There's no believer that doesn't have the spirit, and the spirit means you can. So God's you can in your life is the spirit he has given you. Say amen. God's you can and you will and you should is the spirit that he has given you. God's muscle in your life for spiritual activity is God's spirit in your life. That's so important for you to understand. So the instructions we find in the scriptures are written in a slightly different tense because of the prophecies that have gone ahead of you and I. We're about to read one of those prophecies now, which is part of what God prepared for those that love him. As we go on, you see that those who love him are those who believe him. Now, look at Ezekiel. Are you in Ezekiel 36? I read from verse 25. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Verse 36. And a new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you. That's what make you. So my spirit within you is enabling you to walk in my statutes and my judgments. So in my statutes. And you shall keep my judgments. And what? You will do. Tell your neighbor you will do. Say you will do. God's judgments and God's statutes. So the judgment of God is the outcome of his working within you. That's God's judgment. See, God has judged me faithful. He has given me a spirit. Because I have a spirit, I can do what he says for me to do. That's very important. That's God's judgment. So he says, I'll put my spirit within you. So verse 25, clean water. I will sprinkle clean water upon you and you shall be clean. So there's no such thing as an unclean believer, but there are believers with unclean habits. But you cannot be unclean as a believer. The word unclean and believer don't go together. But there are believers who can have unclean habits. Because I will sprinkle clean water. Who does the sprinkling? God. Who provides the water? God. What's the outcome of the cleansing? You are clean. He calls you cleansed. Romans 8:1 will say that there is therefore now no condemnation. What does that mean? You are cleansed. So God here in prophecy before Christ came, he's saying this is what I will do. I will is an, so to speak, a declaration of his ability to produce something. So what will he produce? I will sprinkle clean water upon you. You shall be clean. And I will cleanse you from all your idols. Idol means that which you are attached to other than God. Say, that's my work. That's what I will do. So God believes in what he has used to cleanse you. He also believes in what it will produce. You shall be cleansed from all your idols. Hallelujah. In other words, I will take on the quality of the water that cleansed me. I also be called clean. Now look at the next verse. In case you think he's talking about H2O, he says, I mean a new heart also will I give you. Say, I have a new heart and a new spirit. And that spirit within me enables me to function in the light of God's word. All right, so he says, I will take away the stony heart of the flesh. How does he take away stony heart? By putting a new spirit in. So the putting of a new spirit is the taking away of the stony heart. There are not two activities, it's one. As he puts in putting in, he takes away. Because in taking away the stony heart means you have believed the gospel. Say, I have believed the gospel. And when I believed, I received. So whatever was stony or hard on you, it was taken away at the instance of believing. This is Ezekiel prophesying. Now put your hand there. Go to 1 Peter. Remember, we're laying foundation today. 1 Peter chapter 1. We teach this way systematically so that when you need to explain, you'll have scriptures at your fingertips to use to explain to people. If we jump right into demonstration, it will look like magic to a lot of people. And then you start saying things like, oh, this is Pastor Tolu now. Pastor Tolu is anointed. We know that he's anointed. This is Pastor Tolu. He's not Pastor Tolu. Of course, he can do all things through Christ that strengthens him. I thought that applies to all of us and not just Pastor Tolu. So if you see somebody just demonstrating, you don't have the explanation, you will be wondering, is it the purview of some, or so to speak, something that's available to all? 1 Peter chapter 1. I read from verse 10. 1 Peter 1 verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently. Notice, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you? So if you remove the words in italics or in bracket now, in King James, they prophesied of the grace to you. So prophesy means they spoke ahead of time of something that will come to you. That something is salvation. Now look at the next verse. They searching what the one man of time, the spirit of Christ which was in them, this signifies, let me explain what that means. The spirit of Christ which was in them, that rendering is interesting because what it really means is that the spirit of Christ, which was in their utterance, the spirit of Christ was not in them. The spirit was not available to indwell any man until Christ rose from the dead. If the spirit of Christ dwells in you, you are born again, you are a new creation. And nobody could be a new creation until Jesus Christ died and what? Rose. So really what he's saying is this, the spirit of Christ was in their utterances. And that spirit testified ahead of time of the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will what? That will follow. So what we are discussing now, you can also call it the glory that follows. You see, we have many titles for this series. You can call what we are discussing now the glory that what? Follows. Now, the theme actually is utterance unto edification. We not need to give a title. Okay, so now, you can also call it the glory that follows. Because the glory that follows simply means the aftermath of the gospel being fulfilled, the aftermath of the resurrection of Jesus, the aftermath of salvation is a glory that follows, which is what we're looking at. But we're looking at it from the origin. So you can see God's faithfulness. You can take your place. So it says, searching what manner of time, the spirit of Christ which was in them signified when it testified ahead of time the sufferings of Christ and the glory that will follow. Verse 12, unto whom was revealed that it was not unto themselves, but unto us they minister those things which are now reported unto you by those who preach the gospel to you, with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, even these things that the angels desire to what? Look into. Hallelujah. So notice, Ezekiel was prophesying of the grace that should come to you, which has now what? Come to you. Say that grace, which is salvation, has come to me. Praise God. So go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 2 again. So notice what it says, as it is written. Did we just read something written just now? Did we find what is written just now? All right, so as it's written, I has not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepared for them that love him. Now, who are those that love him? Look at John's Gospel chapter 14 and verse 14. John's Gospel chapter 14, verse 14. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Look at verse 15. If you love me, do what? Keep my commandments. Keep my commandments. So what will be the result of you loving me? You will keep my commandments. What will happen when you keep my commandments? Look at verse 16. And I will pray the Father. And he shall give you what? Another comforter, that he may abide with you for how long? Forever. Praise God. So the comforter abiding with you forever, that is the outcome of loving Jesus, which is to keep his commandments. So the word keep there means to believe. To believe. That's what it means. To love there will mean what? To believe, which is also to keep. That's what it means. So to keep his commandments, we to believe his commandments. Now remember, what commandments were Jesus teaching them? He was teaching them about the things that will happen after he rises from the dead. And he calls the commandments. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So notice, there are things God prepared for those that love him or those that will believe. Things that eyes have not seen nor ears had. And he hasn't entered into the heart of man. That's what it says. Now, of course, again, the writer is quoting directly from Isaiah. And the reason why I use that phrase, it hasn't entered into the heart of man, contextually, actually. I'm just using that part now to explain what we're looking about. What is in contextual is this? Look at that 1 Corinthians 3 again. Go into verse 7. During our period of praying and fasting, we're looking at understanding supernatural. And it looks like we're going to continue because we couldn't finish. So, but look at what it says in verse 6. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. The prince of this world is a reference to principalities. Okay? That come to naught. Look at next verse. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto what? Our glory. So whatever went yet before the world, it simply means from Genesis. Before the world unto, that's Genesis. Before the world. So that's Genesis. Unto our glory. That's for our benefit. There are things God ordained. Now we just saw part of what God ordained. He said, I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. I'll put a new spirit in you. A new heart also will I give you. Are we together now, brother? That's what God ordained. Now, so what he's teaching is, he says that the things which God ordained before the world unto our glory, the prince of this world did not know about it. And when we are speaking those things, they still don't understand what we're saying. Now look at what it says in verse 9 now. It says, if they had known those things, they would not have what? Crucified. They would have seen the death of Jesus as a signal toward the fulfillment. So notice how they usually find out what God wants to do. Look at verse 9 now. As it is written, eye has not seen nor what? Ear heard. Neither has entered where? Into the heart of man. So whatever enters into man's heart, man will act on it or reveal it, and then the prince of the world, they find out. Did you get that now? Did you get that? That's how the prince of this world found out. That's how they find out things. See, it was men that told Herod that the king has been born. He didn't know. And when they were telling Herod, they were telling the prince at work behind Herod. Does it make sense to you that a child is born and Herod was perplexed and the whole of Jerusalem with him over a child being born? You are a king. Probably you're already an old man. You know that king is born. Is it that he's going to dethrone you, or exactly why are you angry? Why are you upset? You don't send the battalion after a small child that's less than two. No. That's a demonic operation. So they found out that the Savior must have been born. He was so ignorant, he didn't know where. Men needed to tell him the location, the area. He still did not know exactly where. They had to do elimination and... you know what I mean, right? So they sent him, you know what? Any child 3 years under. So they didn't know. So when you say Satan knows everything, you've just conferred omnipotence upon him. Because he doesn't know everything. He finds out most of what he knows through the activities of men. That's what he does. So he hasn't entered until God revealed it by his spirit. For the spirit searches all things, even what? The deep things of God. What man knows the things of a man? Save the spirit of man, which is his name. Even so, the things of God knows no man, but save the spirit of God. Now we have received. Hallelujah. Now we have received. Not the spirit of this world, but the spirit which is what? Of God. That we may know the things which are freely given to us. Say, there are things and are freely given to me of God. Hallelujah. So in putting in me a new heart, which is a new spirit, there are things that are freely given in the spirit that is given to me. So the spirit in me is salvation. The spirit in me also is a promise of much more. So much more that God has planned and prepared for me. So there are things God planned and prepared. Now, if you are a master architect like God, look at Numbers chapter 11. Let's still look at some things that are written. Numbers chapter 11. Let me read from verse 24. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord and gathered the 70 men of the elders of the people and set them round about the tabernacle. The Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto him and took of the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. I don't know why King James put it that way, but really it's me. They prophesied and ceased. Not that they didn't cease. They ceased. If you don't cease, what will happen to you? Hallelujah. They prophesied and ceased so that they just showed or they demonstrated a sign that the spirit was upon them. And then they stopped. It wasn't a continuous thing. Look at, so because eventually that ability translated to judging the tribes. That's what it translated to. Look at the next verse. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but they didn't go out to the tabernacle, and they prophesied where? In the camp. So though they were part of the 17 number, God recognized it and placed that same spirit upon them. Now look at the next thing. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men answered, my Lord Moses, forbid them. That is, they didn't come to our church. There's only members of our church that should be prophesying. How can you be reading tongues and interpretation? Are you a member of Noble House? No. God cannot give you that kind of thing. Are you here? So now, it wasn't Moses, though. He was one of his young men who was jealous for his sin. No. They didn't gather here. They're in disobedience. No. Forbid them. That means they should not say anything. They should not flee in spirit. They didn't come here. So he said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. Oh, look at the next verse. And here's where we're going. And Moses said unto him, envious thou for my sake? I will to God that all the Lord's people were what? Prophets. And the Lord will put his spirit where? Upon them. That was a prophecy. So Moses knew God's plan. The 70 were a type and a shadow. The 70 were a pointer that God can put his spirit on more than one person. So he put it upon Moses. And Moses will stand in place of Jesus. Then Jesus will put it upon 12. Then he'll put it upon 70. Eventually put it upon 500. I hope you understand the mathematics. That was why Jesus followed that pattern. What's 12? 12 tribes, then 12 disciples. And then from then to 70. So it's an exact number. And then after 70, I hope you understand. So there were reasons why some things were happening in those kind of patterns. So how I would that God will put. So that was a prophecy by the Spirit of God through Moses, that God will eventually put the Spirit. So what he's doing here as a type in the Old Testament is what he plans to do through his Son in his death, burial, and resurrection. He will put his Spirit upon all. And notice here that I wish that all lost people will be prophets out by the Spirit of God being upon them. Glory to God. So let's go back now. Where are we? Praise God. Where are we now? Where did we live before we came here? 1 Corinthians 2:12. I trust God to make this so simple that every single one of us, when it's time to minister, you don't think. You don't start thinking. When you think too much, because how many of you think when you want to speak in tongues? You're just like, how will this tongue sound? Will it sound Italian or Spanish? Let me see. You notice that you are so used to it now that you don't think. You just speak. Now, interestingly, you are demonstrating faith. That's what you are doing. Today, people that know how to drive demonstrate faith in getting to the car, starting the car. You know, you're thinking the car will start is faith in the engine's ability to respond to you. You only get disappointed when it doesn't respond. Then when you are driving the car, do you notice that you are talking to somebody on the phone or a friend and you are driving? And it has never occurred to you, you miss your way. Have you noticed that? Or you miss a turn. Some of us miss a turn. We get to carry the way anyway. But generally speaking, so you are functioning in this almost every day because by function of knowledge, there's a knowledge backing that kind of faith. That's human faith. There's knowledge backing it. Hardly have you ever come to church and you sat on one of these chairs and you sat quietly, maybe for the first time. When I say you start weakened, can it take my weight? Some of the way you land on the chair shows that you know the chair can carry your weight. You know that's actually faith also, natural faith. Now, that is what happens when you practice the spirit to a point where you speak in tongues, not thinking about what to say. You just know utterance will come. Let me see. That's what happens. Now, when you first start, you're always thinking, how will I begin? How will I? So, the time comes due to consistent practice. You are now unconsciously yielding. Now, that same way you learn to unconsciously yield is where God expects you to follow through all the way. No change, no difference. So when I'm going to stand to minister to someone, what is guiding me, or what is guiding me, so to speak, is that I know God wants somebody to be edified. I need to come out of my own shell, my own space, my own thinking, so to speak, my own esteem, and step over into Christ's esteem, which is the esteem of his spirit within me. There's an investment of God within me. That investment actually governs how I think, or should govern how I think, and how I should relate in local assembly. So there are times when you are not like 100%. Your engine is not booting. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. You came to church, you are not even smiling. They greeted you, you give a plastic smile. This thing doesn't depend on those kind of, because it doesn't operate on the basis of feelings. It operates based on what Christ has done. Say amen. You didn't sleep very, very well. The days I don't sleep very well, I feel weak. I still go to place to minister, I'll still flow in the spirit, because people need to be blessed. When I finish ministering, I may go home and sleep. Only few people will know. Maybe my wife, and maybe my kids. You will not know the difference, because where that thing is coming from is not in my head. It's not in my hands or my leg. It's on the inside. It's by God's spirit within me. I mean, even understand. So that means I can switch on and switch off. So to switch on or switch off is not God, it's me. So if I say, everybody stand up, speak in tongues. Everybody stand up, let's worship God. Some will get up immediately. Some will get up quickly. Some will get up slowly. Some will not get up at all. What are they doing? Exercising their will to worship or not to worship. So it has more to do with your will than it has to do with the Spirit of God, because God is always ready. Let me say that again. God is always ready. God is ever ready. God is always ready. God is what? Ever ready. Because what motivates God is what he has done, not how you feel. Amen. What motivates God is not how you feel, is what he has done. And God looks at you and he says, Debbie, you are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which I ordained that you should walk in, so walk in it now. That's how God thinks. That's how God thinks. So God will expect, based on what he has done, not based on how you feel per time. Let me say it again. God is not counting or looking at that, he really doesn't like coming to the front because he's a very shy person. The Bible says God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love. I don't like holding the mic. Don't hold the mic, we'll hold it for you. Amen. Hallelujah. We are walking in love, we are helping you. But what are we encouraging you to do? When we say come out and minister, we are actually asking you to walk in love. That is to bless other people. So you have to learn to look beyond yourself and look at, people want to be blessed, they need to be blessed, therefore I need to yield. I need to surrender to God's spirit by yielding, because God's investment within me is not meant to stay within me. It's an investment that's meant to be used to minister to others. Say amen. Say amen. So that's very important for us to understand. Notice, now we have received. So we have received means what Ezekiel spoke about, what Moses desired, has now become my experience and reality. I've received it. What did I receive? I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean. And I will cleanse from all your idols. A new heart also will I give to you. A new spirit will I put within you. I've received that spirit now. I've received the signature of Christ to fill one, which is the spirit of God within me. So God is expecting me now, based on what I've received, to now give. How did you receive? Freely. How do you give? How do you give? So let me ask a question. If you receive freely, how many of you receive freely? How many of you paid a price to receive? So we can return it to you. How many will pay the price to receive? So why do we not respond by giving freely? That's the question. Sometimes it's a function of knowledge. You don't know enough. Sometimes it's a function of ignorance. Sometimes it's just because of the fact that you allow other things to choke God's word that you know in your heart instead of responding. So now, remember, we're teaching because we want to lay a good foundation. That when we begin, you will act on God's word and not on the way you feel per time. The way you feel will change per time. But God's word remains forever. Hallelujah. Say, the Spirit of God is in me forever. The ability of God is in me forever. The deposit of God is in me forever. I can speak by that Spirit. I can minister by that Spirit. And I ought to minister by that Spirit. And I will minister by that Spirit. Now, this is mid-service now. When I said, and I will minister by that Spirit, I saw something which we're going to do right now. Now, just follow what I said earlier. What I said earlier, the Spirit of God is within you. The deposit is in you. The ability is in you. Therefore, you can and you should. Amen. Turn to the person beside you. Say something in tongues and let them know what you said in tongues. Now, listen. How difficult was that? Was that difficult? Was it simple? How many of you heard something from somebody? How many of you heard something? You heard something that blessed you. Now, let me see your hand. Please. Okay, can you start the majority of people that sitting there? And he was now. Did you know the reason why I did it like that? I didn't give you time to think. And I didn't wait till the end of the service. I didn't tell you before last Sunday. You're going to do it today. Maybe you have changed seats. I just said, now, of course, let me also say, I did not know that I planned it. It was because of the utterance that came out that I knew that I should tell you to do it. How many of you understand? So is that easy to flow with the Spirit of God? It's so easy. It's not so difficult. Now, listen, I gave a word of knowledge now for two people. If you are the person, let me see your hand. You are the person. Now, can you see? Now, that means the person needed to hear that. Now, imagine if I get so puffed up. What does it mean to be puffed up with knowledge? What if there's nobody here like that? What if there's nobody here like that? What if there's somebody here like that? Why are you so self-conscious? Why is it about you? Why can't you think of the fact that if I don't say this, somebody may not be blessed? Why are you always thinking about whether you miss it? See, if you don't plan to miss it, you'll never get it. It's like you want to jump from kindergarten to secondary school. So I don't want to go to because there are some teachers in primary 2, primary 1, you even left primary 1. Then when you now get to DS1, you now see the X, the Y. You know there's a problem. Because you have skipped classes. Now, so if step by step, stage by stage, you will learn how to, and let me say this, for those of us who operate in certain gifts of the Spirit, you have to be careful, listen carefully, so that you will not neglect the basics. The basics means I spoke unto you to encourage you. He didn't have any revelation inside. There was no revelation. Yeah, there is some revelation. Revelation means that the words I spoke to you comforted you, strengthened you. That's what I did. So you are so focused on that. I see. Prophesy, Papa. That's what you are. Because you are just thinking like, if I'm going to. No. Listen, on the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that the people, the words that they spoke about the wonderful works of God. That means I can come to you and begin to tell you, God is mighty and faithful. He has never forsaken his own. He's always there on hand to aid those who look to him. Yes, you are looking to him, and I promise you, you will not be ashamed. Now, he didn't carry revelation, but it will bring what? Comfort. It's that simple. It's not difficult. It's when you are looking for something complicated that you enter trouble. Sister, who is Jimon? Say, I don't know any Jimon. The problem starts. You not get discouraged that they say they don't know any Jimon. Because you think that is what it means. No. That's not what it means. The Bible never told us those who prophesied under Moses what they said. It wasn't they prophesied. Today we know to prophesy means that to speak unto men what? Edification, what? Exhortation. It's meaning you spoke by inspiration. So anything under inspiration is prophecy. That's what it means. It's just a beginning. There can be revelation, there can be the middle of revelation gifts, but you start from somewhere. And every believer is meant to start from inspiration. You speak unto men, edification, what? Exhortation and comfort. And as you are doing that, you begin to sense and pick up other things. But more than that is the fact that somebody within the local assembly, somebody at your place of work, needs to hear that word of comfort. That can change their lives. It can stop somebody from committing suicide. I'm being sincere with you. So you have to move outside of yourself and stop thinking about yourself. What will I say? What have you been saying since? And look to God's ability within me. I don't look at the way I feel. Now I've received. Glory to God. If I need to say that to myself 1,000 times, I will say it. Now I've received. Not the spirit of the world. There's no confusion in me. There's light in me. I have direction. Because God's spirit is my direction. He shows me the way. He tells me what to do. He enables me to say the right things. I will bless somebody today. I will comfort someone today. Somebody will receive strength today because God's spirit will speak through me. That's how to activate yourself in a believer's meeting. Somebody's passing by your door. Hello, sister, how are you doing? And you begin to speak. You may not know how they will go home that day, as though they're on top of the world, because they heard Jesus speak to them, because one of Jesus' sons and daughters yielded to him. It's that important. Now we have received. We're not going to receive. Say, the Spirit is not coming. The Spirit has come and is here to stay. And I will yield to the Spirit. Acts chapter 2. Praise God. You know, as we teach and we demonstrate, the demonstration is important also because it will help you see that this is not so difficult. Acts 2 from verse 1. Quickly. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Yep. And there appeared unto them cloven tongue like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with what? Other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now notice, Acts chapter 2 verse 4 is a record of what began in the early church. But what is interesting is that you cannot follow those words the way they were written because you have to look at the background. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus told them, you shall receive power, after which the Holy Ghost will what? Come upon you. Acts 1:8. So Acts chapter 2, verse 1, is a record of certain things that were done. Some things were done before Acts 2:1. Some things were done before Acts 2:1. And we need to understand that those things led to what happened in Acts 2:1. So the word suddenly is not a reference to God moving. It's a reference to the people yielding. Let me say that again. The word suddenly is not a reference to God moving. It's a reference to the people what yielding. Something happened to their persuasion and comprehension. That's what the Bible describes as suddenly. Now, go to Luke 24 and verse 49. Are you here this morning? Glory to God. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be one endued with power from on high. So this is until ye be endued with power from on high. On high is a reference to the resurrection of Jesus. That's where on high is. So behold, I send the promise of my Father. Now, if you've been following our teachings, we'll tell that when you hear these statements, don't think it was a one line. It's a teaching that took place over a period of 40 days. So if I go to Acts chapter 1, look at Acts chapter 1 from verse 1. Luke, the same writer of the book of Luke, is the writer of the book of Acts. You can say the book of Luke is part A, book of Acts is part B of Luke's writing, because Luke was a disciple of Paul. He said, the former prophets have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion. The word passion is after his resurrection, by many undeniable proofs, being seen of them how many days? 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So when I'm reading Luke 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry. The things Jesus said, the things he taught them, the word tarry means to dwell on those realities. How did they dwell? They spoke it, they prayed it, they sang it. Let me say that again. They spoke it, they prayed it, they sang it. Pastor, how do you need the song? You are in Luke 24, verse 49. Let's read the next verse. And he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and what? Blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Okay, so if you listen to teaching of understanding supernatural, you know when he was carried up into heaven, you know what it means now. Amen. Amen. Is Jesus with you? Is he with you? Is he in heaven? Is he in heaven? Is he with you? So where are you? Are you going to heaven? Will you make heaven? Hallelujah. Some mindset that we got to change. I mean, as people are shaking. I mean, saying when they will shake away, you shall make heaven. And so it's a promise. Hallelujah. And to tell people that, but heaven came down into you. Heaven came down into you by God's Spirit. If they're talking about getting the physical planet, of course you will get there. But the real heaven, you need to tarry. Because don't preach to anybody who... Before you can preach herbalism, you need to tarry. So that was why they needed to tarry. That was also why they didn't speak in tongues immediately before he left. They didn't even understand fully what he was teaching. They already had the Spirit. They couldn't respond to the Spirit. It wasn't because Jesus is going is what will give them Spirit. No, they already had the Spirit. They were born again. And once you are born again, you have the Spirit. Say, I have the Spirit. Romans 8:9. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells where? In you. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So they had the Spirit. But they couldn't yield to the Spirit, because even what they were saying shows there was a disconnect between what he taught and what they understood. So how will they line up with what he taught? They will need to want tarry. Stay with the teachings, what I taught you for 40 days. How did he teach them? I'm beginning at Moses. And all the... So they will stay with their scriptures. They will look at it. They will remember what he said. They will see the light there. They will understand what the scriptures has promised. They will look at what Joel said. They will see Joel said, it shall come to pass in the last days, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh, your sons and daughters. Now we are sons and daughters. Jesus says we are born of God. They will begin to look at those things. They remember what he taught them in John chapter 14. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. If we're not, so I will have told you, I go to pray a place for you. And if I go, I will come again and receive it to myself, so that where I am, where are you? As I'm a son, you'll be sons also. So they will know Joel was saying sons and daughters mean that us. What would they do? They will prophesy. They were going over that over and over for those days. They were tiring. That's how they tarried. It wasn't just about praying. What they said, how they sang, how they spoke was influenced by all the things he taught. Because now the scriptures have been opened unto them. Luke 24:44. Then opened it their understanding that may what? Understand the scriptures. It made sense now that Isaiah wasn't saying something contrary to what Moses said, and David wasn't speaking contrary to what Joel said. There was harmony of the prophets. They could see it. And the minute understanding dawned, that's the day of Pentecost. They began. Glory to Jesus. They began. Now, here's what we need to understand. No matter how many times you've exercised yourself in the spirit, you will always need to go back to the fundamentals. Because you will always be subject to human feelings of inadequacy, that you are not, you know, fully prepared. Somebody say, I feel dry. Go and drink water. Because it doesn't mean anything nice. I've seen people lay hands on people. And they were on the sick bed, and they hands on somebody that the person would be, and the person was well. Because it has nothing to do with the way you feel. It has nothing to do with the pain in your body. Peter was hungry in chapter 10 of Acts. You know, there's a reason why Luke will say Peter is hungry. That's not that he was famished, is English. That's grammar. Hunger. The apostle is hungry. Why didn't he eat? Food was not ready. What did he do? Because, you know, the longer you hang around people that are going to prepare food for you, the longer it looks like. It looks like it's taking so much time. I mean, so you need to distract yourself from what your stomach is speaking to you. So you need to distract yourself from, like, because, like, if you are with those kind of people who always say, like, 10 minutes, I will be done. Just know it's not 10 minutes. Just know it's not 10 minutes. In 10 minutes, I will be done. Well, we have put water on the fire. It's not just 10 minutes now. Even rice. So you need to distract yourself. So while they made it ready, listen carefully. Because they had prayer watches, 6 a.m., 9 a.m., 12. So he fell around one of the prayer watches and said, when they are making ready, let me go and pray. And the Spirit of God did not consider that he was hungry, and he had a trance. So you can feel hungry and have a major spiritual experience that will affect many lives. So the way you feel has nothing to do with the realm of the Spirit. Nothing. So much activity was going on in that realm, and Peter was physically hungry. Somebody says, if God wants me to really pray, he will make sure I don't sleep. Brother and sister, you will sleep. Oh, you will sleep. In sleeping, you will sleep. If God really is moving, the spirit of slumber will bound. Let me tell you about the spirit of slumber. It will attack you when you come for vigil and leave you when we say amen. You have not noticed before. So, you know, fight the good fight of faith. You have not noticed. You stood against the wall. Have you seen people who are sleeping against the wall for they still sleep? People are wondering if they can sleep as in that posture. They slept leaning on the wall, and you have slept. The only thing you didn't do was snoring. You said you were feeling, I'm just feeling tired. Then we just said amen. The way you are gisting with brethren, you know you are under attack. Because it's amazing the energy you are. Then the sleep will just go. Have you noticed? You are not feeling sleepy again. Which is why you needed to fight all through the night. Because you cannot afford to let that feeling stop you from praying. But it has nothing to do with what God is doing. No, it has nothing. It's just your body. You need to work on your flesh. That's what it means. So when you want to use feelings to interpret what God is doing, no. You can't afford to. A major breakthrough can be around the corner and you feel like watching film. So you are the one that has to be sensitive enough to listen to the small promptings that you are hearing from the Spirit of God so you can learn how to, because your physical body and realm of spirit are two different realms entirely. Glory to Jesus. It's important for you to understand what that means. So don't always depend on your feelings per time. When it comes to these operations of the Spirit, don't depend on your feelings. Learn to trust the authority of God's word. I am who God says I am. I am who God says I am. The Spirit of God dwells in me. He's in me to minister. He has made me a minister of the New Testament. I can minister by sufficiency. His sufficiency is my strength. His sufficiency is my ability. I can speak by God's Spirit at any time. Glory to God. That's important. So don't always write, sir, can you just pray with me? A lot of times people say, pray, minister to me. That means you begin by tongues. You start that with the unknown. You are going to move to where? To the known. Now, you may be dealing with some things yourself. And some ways God wants to bring out what you are dealing with is that he will have you give something to somebody else, and in giving, your own will now come. I mean, even I'm talking about. That's what happens. That's the way God does it. So you're doing yourself a favor by learning how to yield to the Spirit, because that's where instructions will now come for you about what to do. This is something we do on a regular basis in our private lives. That's why Paul will instruct the church at Ephesus. Be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17. Be not drunk with what? Wine. When he is excess. Whatever makes you drink wine till you are intoxicated, it's saying that you're looking for something. Now says that desire what you are looking for. It's God giving, but don't let wine, alcohol satisfy, because you can't satisfy it. Because after you get drunk, you wake up. Guess what? The problem is still there. Only you have added more now. There's an hangover and serious headache. So there's something inside man that craves a high, something that will lift you up, that will excite you. It says, but be filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. Speaking to yourselves in psalms, which are one, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts too, to the Lord. So in your own personal practice, start from there. Shake the leg that you have been trying to use to walk for a while, and there's so much pain, and you're saying, when will the Lord heal it? Thus saith the Spirit of God, He will heal it even now. For every step you take, the next one you take, and the next one you take, you'll be stronger and stronger until you are not just walking, but you are running. Because victory is already yours. Victory is in your corner, and victory is yours to enjoy because of the blood of His sacrifice. That's what I said in tongues. You don't start thinking, okay, what will I say? How will it sound? Like I said, is it Greek tongues? It can even sound like Yoruba. It doesn't matter the intonation. That's not what it matters. What matters is that, what does God want to communicate to His people? Surely in gathering they will gather, but not by me, said the Lord. And all that gather against you shall fall for your sake. I will bring about vindication. And that which has always delayed, the approval will come swiftly. And you'll be vindicated from the plans of the enemy. Now, somebody need to hear that. Somebody need to hear that. You just continue that way. You just continue. You speak more. You speak more. You didn't even think before you said it, so stop trying to think. You just keep speaking. And say somebody, it's like my fuel is running out. Speak in more tongues. Because the spirit can't run out. That simply means you need to pump up more. How do you pump up more? You speak more in tongues. As you speak more, more with what? Comfort. Then something's happening to you. So you're also learning how to administer. And this thing is so practical that you can come and say some things to Brother Steve and come the next day and say, like, I didn't say that thing well. Actually, this is word that I actually heard, and this is what I think. So you can come back and re-say it. You say, were you in error before? No. It was the expression you used that was not accurate. But what you said was right. I'm your son. You see, you can use the wrong expression to say the right thing. I mean, even what I'm talking about. Yeah, you can. That's part of the learning process. It shows you're growing. So I will come back and say the same thing to you. But now I went back home to meditate because I can meditate on prophecy. I said, this was what I was trying to say. Listen carefully what I'm about to say. How many of us have had visions in the past? And your first interpretation of what you saw is not your understanding of it now. Let me say that. So what happened between then and now? What happened between then? The vision changed or you grew? It changed or you grew? Listen to what I'm about to say. Matthew 17. On the Holy Mount, Jesus went to Peter, James, and John. He took them. Matthew wrote that they saw Elijah and Moses and Jesus. Matthew said, a voice came from on high and said, this is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, Matthew was saying, there was Moses, there was Elijah. Moses, the law. Elijah, the prophets. He now says, the two will make sense when you listen to my son. That's what Matthew said. When Peter was going to say in 2 Peter 1:16, he didn't mention Moses and Elijah again. He just said, we're with him. In the holy mountain, a voice came from excellent glory. What do you think happened to Peter? He understood more about the vision now. Hallelujah. Why did he mention Moses and Elijah? Because remember that at the time when they saw that, they were in the flesh. They were not born again. Now, Peter is born again. Peter understands the gospel. Jesus has taught him. Peter did not include Moses because Moses simply represents what? The law. And Elijah what? The prophet. So he didn't need to mention because the law and prophets is talking about who? Jesus. So he didn't mention those two characters again because that's what the vision meant. So instead of telling people, have you seen Moses before? I have seen Moses. What about you? I saw Elijah. You know what you saw, you don't know what it meant. It's your growth in the word of God that makes you interpret the vision of what? Accurately. Sometimes 15 years after the vision, through the teaching of God's word, this is what I saw, this is what it means. So it even takes the word of God and spiritual growth to even interpret accurately what it is that you saw. Amen. In fact, Jesus told them, tell the vision to no man. Until the Son of Man be risen. You know what that means? You are going to say rubbish. And it's according to the law of Moses in those days, to see the dead is forbidden. To interact with the dead is forbidden. So what will you go and tell people? That we saw Moses. We saw Elijah. With who? We saw him with Jesus. So Jesus is discussing with dead people. Necromancy, which the law of Moses forbid. So you go and be saying rubbish. So he told them, say the vision to no man. On the Son of Man be written. You know what that means? Until you have sense. That comes by the Spirit. Then you can see. And when Peter was now saying, Peter had sense. What was the sense? We were with him on the Holy Mount when a voice came from excellent glory. And we have a more sure word. Or the word of prophecy made more sure. That's what he said. We have that word made more sure. Whereunto you will do well, you take it as unto a light that shines what? In a dark place. Until the day star They does, and these are what arises where? In your hearts. So there's growth in the things of the Spirit. Even in the interpretation of visions, there's growth. So I'm saying that the Word of God is my bank. It's my resort. It's my resting place. It's my confidence. That's what gives me what to say and how to say. It interprets visions that I see for me before I even give it to a fellow believer. So I get better at administering things of the Spirit because I get better at understanding what? God's Word. Say amen. That's what God expects of us. So any individual who wants to become excellent in edification, in the things of the Spirit, you are more studious. You become more diligent with the Word of God. It's going to affect your flow of the Spirit. It's going to give you the right vocabulary to use when it comes to ministering people. So the Word of God has overall impact on your spirituality. When it comes to even what you see, what you hear, what you understand by those things, and how you minister the same unto what people. So it's important that we stay on God's Word until we have a full understanding of how to be a blessing. See, I'm a blessing to my generation. I'm a blessing to my local assembly. I minister to the saints. I bless everyone that comes by me, by the Spirit of truth. So God has considered you. Moses' desire has come to pass. How I wish that God would put His Spirit upon all. Upon all. Is God's Spirit upon you? Is His Spirit upon you? Can you speak by the Spirit? Can you speak by the Spirit? You can speak by the psalm before we go. You know, I deliberately picked the psalm because, like I said, if somebody wants to give us a word, everybody has a word. But we don't even understand that even from a psalm, something can come up. And a psalm is one of the most fundamental things a believer can do. Somebody wants to give us a psalm. Somebody bold enough to give us a psalm before we go. I can't. I'm not going to. Because somebody else needs to do that. Someone wants to give a psalm. Somebody wants to say a psalm. It's like a spiritual poem. Always carries a level of encouragement and comfort. Always carries a level of encouragement and comfort. If we start like that today, we'll move up quickly because we have only 4 Sundays. As a matter of fact, we have 3 before the major one. We don't have up to 5. We have 3 before the major one. Pastor, you want to, please. Actually, don't want any of the pastors to do that. But
don't say God has forgotten me. It seems there is a delay in what He told you and what He has said in time past. There is no delay. You need to come to a place of faith where you see what He has told you. And the more you see what He has told you, the more the reality is done on you, and the more you can boldly walk into what He has said. He's not the author of confusion. He's not the one that delays. You are the one that needs to catch up with what He's doing at every point in time. So don't say what He had told me in time past. It's getting too long. Is God slow? No. His hands are not short to save. Neither is He slow to perform. Glory to God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. That was spot on. That was spot on. How many of you got something from that? Was that difficult? No, you just pick up the mind of God. Someone said, we have the mind of Christ. So we know what He wants to say to us. Hallelujah. We know what He wants to say to us. So we just yield and just flow. So the one God is speaking through is not the one God that's chosen. It's the one that yielded. That's what God wants to say. I know God wants to say something. Then somebody decides to yield. It's whoever yields that will now say it. But He could say it through any one of us. That's just the difference. That's the only other difference. Nobody's more special than the other. It is who is ready to yield. And then God uses the person. That's the way it works. Now, the reason why some of our pastors will demonstrate for us is so that we can see an example of how to minister those things and how to walk in those things. Say amen. Hallelujah. So as the Sundays, as the days come by, we're going to get better. I'm going to get better. I'm going to be yielded. I'm going to be bold. I'm comforted by God. The Spirit of God enables me and encourages me. And I'm strong. This is a new month for me. It's a month of supernatural progress. I will run. I will not be weary. And I will not faint. Give Him praise one more time.